Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BLS International Services Limited Q1 FY27 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines are in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference to Ms. Dipali Kumari from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you all for joining the Q1 FY27 earnings call of BLS International Services Limited. Before we proceed, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with the company's business risks that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. From the management today, we have Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director, Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Amit Sudhakar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Loknath Panda, Chief Operating Officer of BLS eServices Limited. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal for his opening remarks, post which Mr. Amit Sudhakar will discuss the financial performance of the company, and then we will open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shikhar.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on BLS International's Q1 FY27 earnings call. We hope you've had the opportunity to review the results, press release, and investor presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. We are pleased to report a strong start to FY27, delivering robust year-on-year growth across key financial metrics. Revenue and EBITDA grew by 25% and 24% year-on-year, respectively, reflecting the strength of our diversified business model, global footprint, and disciplined execution capabilities. We also achieved two significant milestones during the quarter, recording our highest-ever quarterly revenue of 891 crores, EBITDA of 252 crores, and PAT of 202 crores for the first time in the company's history. This performance was supported by healthy contribution from both our visa and consular service and digital business, which continued to demonstrate resilience and strong operational momentum. Further, our extensive geographical footprint spanning over 100 countries, together with our strong operational framework and comprehensive suite of global mobility and travel services, has strengthened our ability to mitigate the impact of external uncertainties and market-specific challenges. This diversified business model continues to support sustainable growth while enabling us to pursue emerging opportunities across geographies and service offerings. The visa and consular service business continues to witness strong traction, where we delivered robust growth during the quarter, with both revenue and EBITDA increasing by 22% year-on-year. The growth was primarily driven by strong traction in our visa business, along with increasing momentum in citizen service business. The performance was well complemented by operating leverage benefits and sustained efforts towards process optimization. Although application volumes in the core visa and service business remained broadly stable year-on-year, the net revenue per application grew by 11%. The growth was driven by higher pricing from newer contracts and better revenue mix, highlighting our ability to enhance monetization and deliver great value across customer touchpoints. During the quarter, we continued to strengthen our global visa and consular platform through a series of strategic initiatives. We commenced Belarus visa applications in Mumbai, expanding enhanced to efficient and seamless visa application across multiple travel categories. We also launched a Visa with Ready BLS International awareness campaign to help applicants navigate better visa process and introduce an AI-powered bot for admissions globally, enabling 24/7 virtual assistants, reinforcing our focus on technology-led service delivery and customer convenience. Our digital service business has also shown strong momentum, with revenue growing by 32% to 330 crores this quarter. The growth was led by healthy traction in the BC business and loan distribution business, along with sustained expansion of our assisted digital and service offerings. as the business continues to scale, we've witnessed significant operating leverage benefits, resulting in a strong 46% year-on-year growth in EBITDA to 27 crores. The BC business is witnessing significant transactions, with GTV increasing to more than 29,500 crores during the quarter as compared to 26,200 crores during first quarter last year. During the quarter, the digital service business secured a contract from the government of West Bengal to undertake beneficiary verification and card approval services under Ayushman Bharat PMJ and Ayushman One Way Vandana Cross Scheme across the state. Additionally, the company Sendin is present across banking, insurance, government-led citizen services through key mandates and partnerships, including a fresh mandate from Tamil Nadu Grama Bank, and partners with PowerFox Insurance to provide services through a network of 1.58 lakh BLS touchpoints. We are continually sending our technology across both our businesses by leveraging AI, advanced analytics, cloud platforms, and automation to enhance security, scalability, and performance while delivering smarter, faster, and more reliable solutions to partner customers and client governments. Our continued investment in technology is helping us deepen trust with governments while strengthening our customer-first approach. To conclude, the period ahead presents meaningful opportunities for BLS International. Our diversified presence across geographies and service lines, growing scale in priority markets, and strong engagement pipelines positions us well to sustain growth momentum. Now I'll hand over the call to Mr. Amit Sudhakar, our CFO, to walk you through our financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Shikhar. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Let me take you through the numbers for the quarter ended 30th June 2026. I will cover our consolidated performance, the revenue mix, the two business segments, and finally the balance sheet and the cash position. The consolidated revenue for the quarter was Rs. 891 crores, up 25% from 711 crores in the same quarter last year. This is the highest quarterly revenue the company's history. Importantly, the growth was broad-based. Both our businesses contributed, so we were not dependent on any single engine. EBITDA was 252 crores, up 24% from Rs. 204 crores. Our EBITDA margin was 28.3%, which is broadly stable year-on-year basis. We have grown revenue by 25% without giving up margin. It reflects our operating leverage in both our businesses and continued discipline on our costs across the group. Profit after tax was 202 crores, up 12% from 181 crores last year. Revenue mix. Visa and consular services now accounts for about 63% of the consolidated revenue, against roughly 65% a year ago. The digital service has moved up to about 37% from around 35%. Our EBITDA visa consular business still contributes close to 90% of the total. So digital is growing faster and steadily taking a large share of our revenue, while visa and consular remains the profit engine. Over time, our digital margin improves. We expect the contribution gap to narrow. That is the direction we are working towards. Visa and consular services segment revenue was Rs. 560 crores, up 22% from 461 crores. The EBITDA was 226 crores, up 22%, with margin of 40.3%. The margin is steady against the same quarter last year, which is the outcome we were targeting. Growth here came mainly from continuous traction in our core visa business and increasing momentum in citizenship invest. Our core visa operation, we processed 11.3 lakh applications during the quarter. The application volumes were broadly stable year on year. The net revenue per application, however, was Rs. 3521 lakhs, against 3167 last year, a growth of 11%. Digital service segment revenue was rupees 330 crores, 32% from rupees 250 crores, our fastest growing business this quarter. The growth was led by healthy traction in our business correspondent and loan distribution businesses, along with continuous expansion of 6% from rupees 18 crore. Margin improved to 8.2% from 7.2% last year. It is a high volume distribution led model. So we add transactions over our largely fixed cost base. Profitability improved faster than revenue. This quarter, EBITDA grew by nearly 1.5 times the pace of the revenue. We expect that the pattern to continue as the business scales. Though margins in this segment will remain structurally lower than the visa and consular service. Balance sheet and cash. Our balance sheet remains strong. As on 30th June 2026, we held a net cash of 1,617 crores. It is an asset-like business model that converts profit into cash well, and that is what gives us the flexibility to have today. To summarize, a record quarter on revenue, EBITDA and profit. Both segments grew, margin held up in visa consular and improved in digital, and the balance sheet remains strong with no net debt. We are entering the rest of the year with a good momentum, a healthy pipeline, and the financial flexibility to invest where we see opportunities. With that, I will hand over it to the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, you press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kanishk Gupta from SS Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, a very good morning to you. I would like to ask that the company has been a high return asset light business. So as the company expands through acquisition and adjacent opportunities, could you explain the capital allocation framework it uses to determine whether a deployment of capital will create more shareholder value than reinvesting in the core business?
I think, first of all, I want to clarify that we have grown more organically than through our acquisitions. That was just utilization of money. And our CFO, Amit, you can explain the capital allocation strategy that we have.
Yeah, so capital allocation priority is to give for the expansion of organic expansion of our existing businesses. Secondary is for the M&A activities in which we are focusing on, which will improve the ROI of the company. And the third is to pay in the form of dividend to the shareholders. And if you see over the last couple of years, we have utilize the funds for the M&A as well as improve the dividend payouts.
Sir, what return thresholds must an acquisition or a strategic investment meet before capital is allocated to it?
So currently what investments we have done in M&A, all are working on a return of more than say early 17 to 20%.
So that's the baseline.
That's right. That's the baseline of a return we are expecting from our M&A.
Okay, sir. And my second question would be on, as we have done a couple of acquisition and significant goodwill has been created via those. So could you quantify the economic value that these acquisitions has created so far? Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, Amit, can you hear them? I don't know. Amit is audible. What is the question that you have again? Let me try to answer. Economic value of these acquisitions. Hello.
Yes, sir. I was asking, as significant goodwill has been created via the acquisition made in the past, so till now, what kind of economic value has been created via those?
I think I will let our CFO answer this question. So maybe you'll have to come back on this and see if available. We can go to the next question.
Sure, sir. Lastly, I would like to ask your growth expectations over the next 4 to 5 years, excluding any contribution from future acquisitions. That's purely organic revenue growth guidance.
Correct. So we, as we said previously, you know, at an increased base, whatever we have achieved last year, our target is to grow 50-20% for the next 5 years. And if you see the first quarter numbers, we have surpassed that. You know, we've grown 25% on revenue and around 25% on EBITDA. But our target is, even last time we announced that our target is just to grow 15-20% organically in the next 5 years. So yeah, we are, I feel, on track on that.
Sir, what kind of EBITDA margin baseline can we consider going forward for full year FY27 and FY28?
As you said, in the visa business, we have achieved around 40% EBITDA margin. And our digital service business, the EBITDA margin has grown up to 8% now, which was 7.3% before. Our target is to maintain those margins. As we have been saying over the last few years, our margins have increased a lot. But our target is to maintain the margins on the increased revenue and profitability of the company.
And sir, as a consolidated entity, what would that number be?
Consolidated entity, our EBITDA margin 28.3%.
That's the guidance you are giving.
This is what we have achieved.
And sir, for full year FY27, what would that number be?
I think maybe we should ask more questions. We should limit our questions. We should give other people also chances.
Sure, sir. No problem. Thank you. That's it. And all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shika Mehta from Time and Tide Advisors. Please go ahead. Sorry, ma'am,
Hello?
Your voice is not audible. Please go ahead.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yes, I just had a few questions. So first, I wanted to ask on the tax rate and on our depreciation and amortization expense for the quarter. So our tax rate is 14% versus 8% last quarter and 10% last year same quarter. So is that something that will remain in the 14% rate going forward as our, you know, Aadhaar business, etc. increases? That's first. And second is on the depreciation. So the increased depreciation and amortization cost, is that because of the new acquisitions or is it something else? Because again, that is 32 crore versus 25 last quarter and 23, last year, same quarter.
Yeah. So, Shika, as far as the tax amount is concerned, that depends on the profit in the respective countries where we do get the profit from. So if the mix is different, the effective tax rate changes. So, but our estimate is that we should close the financial year at around 12%. Second question was on the depreciation and amortization. That has gone up. Not so much because of the M&A. It has gone up more because of the we are investing mainly on the new contract of Aadhaar project.
Okay.
So because of the accounting standard, the lease accounting standard, it gets reflected in the depreciation and interest.
So this 32 crore broadly can be, something that we'll maintain going forward for the next few quarters, broadly this range.
It may go a little higher in the next quarter because by the time our full investment will be over, and then it will gradually remain the same or will come down thereafter.
And on the same, on the capex we've done on the Aadhaar front, which is what's causing this depreciation jump, how long would it take for revenues to come in?
So the revenues have started from it's basically a three-phase investment. The first phase we have completed. Second phase is now in the final stages. And in the next quarter, we will complete the whole, and we'll, by the fourth quarter, we expect the full revenue will start coming in.
Got it. So maybe around Q4 is what we're expecting.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Q4 to Q1, the full revenue will start coming in.
Start coming in. Okay. All right, great. And lastly, sir, do we have any, you know, new contracts in the pipeline on the visa front or anything we'd like to speak about on that front?
We have announced, you know, that all the contracts that we keep on winning, we keep on announcing. And we recently won contract with the Belarus government. We've announced that. We've won contracts with Portugal government, Slovakia government, Italy government. We've announced already. Yeah. So we're bidding for multiple tenders.
Anything in the pipeline, sir?
Yeah, multiple tenders in the.
Or rather how?
Yeah, there are multiple tenders in the pipeline that we are bidding. And there are different stages. And as and when anything gets finalized, we will announce it.
And this would.
If you see.
The pipeline would be for the next, you know, 8-12 months.
Correct. Not only 8-12 months, but more than that as well.
Okay. Understood. Okay, great, sir. That's all from my side. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also, Mr. Amit Sudhakar is on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure that every participant gets an opportunity, please restrict your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Mehta from IndoWealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So my question is about the visa application volume. What we see here is that the volumes were flat year-on-year basis in your seasonally strongest quarter. And this is despite the Slovakia contract where you had almost 80 countries and the Cyprus contract which had 15 countries. So the question is, you know, what was this organic application growth excluding the acquired entities? And when do you think those two mandates actually start contributing to the volumes?
See, if you see in the first quarter this year, there was the impact of the war as well. You know, in spite of that, our volume has increased from our other contracts, and we are able to maintain this volume of 11.3 lakh, which is almost similar to the first quarter last year. So,
yeah.
So I feel that we've actually grown this quarter from our other contracts, and despite the war, you know, those are the numbers that we achieved.
And how are these numbers faring in the current quarter? Do you see still the impact of the war, or do you think?
I would say that
whatever
guidance we have given, that's a 15%-20% growth we expect year-on-year for the next couple of years.
This is for the consolidated business, right?
Correct.
So
I'm talking about consolidated business.
Yeah. For visa, I was trying to see.
We are stable in our volume.
Stable in terms of the volumes.
Correct.
Okay. So the growth will largely come from value increase and not so much the volume increase.
So I don't know if I can comment on that right now because obviously the quarter is ongoing. And I cannot give numbers on the quarter. But as I've told you, last quarter, in spite of the war, but the war is over now. So numbers have started to come back.
So my other quick second question, you're holding good amount of cash in the balance sheet. The stock, have you considered a buyback now that those regulations have eased out? Is that something that could be triggered in the next few quarters unless there is some acquisition in the pipeline?
I think this will be taken up with the board, and if any decision comes in, we'll certainly let you know.
Okay. But is there anything in consideration or not as of now?
As of now, it is not there, but maybe in the next board meeting or something.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my question is again around buyback. See, honestly, I mean, from all the perspectives, if you look at BLS as a company, we have large cash balance, about 1600 crores. We have extremely large reserves, about 2,500 crores, and then now with the buyback regulations also easing up and the fact that the company is relatively quite cheaply valued considering the growth and ROCs and cash flows that we generate, why is there no, you know, serious consideration around, you know, looking at buyback is what I'm trying to understand. We can easily do 500-600 crores of buyback given the reserve that we have and the cash that we have.
See, we have a good pipeline of acquisitions, and if you see last year only we did about 1,100 crores of investment in new acquisitions. So once we have those appetite to for acquisition and the expansion of the business, we would prioritize that as the first requirement. But buyback or increase in dividend is both are also on the agenda. When the board meets, they may discuss it and may take a call on that.
That's right. But the thing is now, like last year also we generated about 900 crores of cash. So even if we are looking to spend 1,500 crores of M&A every year, we still have that cash getting accumulated because we are generating 1,000 crores of cash every year. So like doing buybacks, I mean, that I don't think should disrupt your M&A as such. And like even the kind of valuation that you're trading at, I mean, it would honestly be way better to sort of do buybacks rather than, you know, putting some money on the dividends or trying to increase the dividends.
Yeah, again, as I said, now this call will be taken by the board. And
because see, from an outside investor perspective, I think one thing that is not very clear is around the capital allocation policy, because again, I think one of the previous participants, when they asked the question, I don't think there was a response around how you look at capital allocation. So yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that if the company can come out better in terms of.
I think we have Amit, I don't know if you were clear enough, but we've announced that capital allocation, we are, you know, utilizing our cash on the acquisitions, on dividends, you know, future growth, the contracts that we expect to win, deployment of infrastructure there, technology, etc. So that is our capital allocation policy that has been there from day one. And we are actually taking all the decisions depending on that only.
Yeah, but as investors, we are not able to figure out, let's say, for example, ID taxation that you did last year or Epidelis that you have done. What's the return that investment is generating is what the community is sort of trying to figure out. Is what my understanding.
I think each acquisition, we announce the kind of multiples that we have bought the company for, what are the returns we are expecting, right, Amit? We are even quarterly, we are declaring that. So as Amit has said, 15-20% return we are generating on all our acquisitions.
Okay, that was awesome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from Fires Assets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good morning. A couple of questions. First is, can you give us some outlook on the revenue per application? Because if you look at the last 3-4 years, you were, you know, compounding at about 25% plus, but in the last 1 year that has kind of fallen off. So is this an impact of some of the contracts are nearing the end of their tenure, or is there some other factor which is influencing this? So what kind of growth rates can we pencil in when it comes to revenue per application? That is question one. And the second one is that when you look at the next 1 year, now in your visa consular business, what revenue run rate or what is the revenue that will fall off as a result of contracts which are expiring in the next 12 months?
On this net revenue from per application, this has improved in the last 3 years is on account of the business model that we have changed from partnership model to our own management that we have started doing it directly. That has given the major improvement in the net revenue per application over the years. Now most of the places we have our own offices, and therefore now the net revenue is now getting stabilized at these levels.
So the growth rates will be what you have already registered, like let's say 11 to 13% kind of compounding. Is that something that we can go ahead with?
Yeah, that's right. Because how we look at it is, we look at the travel industry growth, which is about 7 to 8% CAGR, and then we try to improve it by another 5%. So we look at somewhere between 12 to 15% growth in the revenue.
But sir, this figure should be ideally independent of the footfall, right?
Which one?
The net revenue per application should be a figure which is independent of the footfalls or the visa applicants, number of visa applicants.
No, it's basically divided by the net revenue divided by per application is the net revenue per application what we show. That 3,000...
No, I mean, no, I mean the fee that you charge. Hello?
Yes.
So the fee that is basically, this is an indication of the fee that you charge to, let's say, any traveler.
Right.
So I'm just curious as to why, you know, this should have a, you know, that per application number, why should it have a footfall kind of a, you know, why should it be a function of the footfalls?
Per application, you will work out on the number of people who are coming in, right?
Sir, you said, I think, footfall growth of 7-8% and another 4-5% pricing improvement. So ideally, this should be only pricing, right? This figure?
Yeah, but then there's a mix of applications also, not from different, we charge an X price per application for, say, European visa. There will be a separate pricing for people traveling for Indian visa and the other. So this is a mix of all.
Got it. And sir, the second question, please.
What was your second question?
So what is the revenue on your current visa consular business run rate, which will kind of fall off as a result of the contract getting concluded in the next 12 months?
So there are contracts which are, some are getting concluded, some new we are winning. So it basically, we look at our overall, we still feel that we can maintain this 10 to 15% growth.
Got it. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aryan from AV Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on your results. Just wanted to understand, I saw it mentioned in the footnotes that in e-services, we are planning on a 138 crore acquisition. So can you just give some more color on this?
We have done this acquisition. We have informed about 6 months back that we have signed an under term sheet with them. This is a acquisition we have done. Company name is Atyati Technologies, which is a Bangalore-based company, and they have two verticals. Main is the BC business, which we are in already in BC business. We have majority of our BC business is coming from State Bank of India, whereas they have majority of their business coming from non-SBI. So there we see a synergy of consolidating our BC business across India. And then they have another technology business which are providing software solutions to banks and NBFCs in India. And we see that another opportunity of expanding that business going forward. So these are the two major verticals which we are focusing on.
So what is the revenue and margin profile in Atyati Tech?
So again, they last year audit, they had from these two segments, they had about 275 crores revenue and had about 21 crore of EBITDA.
Okay. Yeah. Alright. Second question, actually, just wanted to understand the Aadhaar project which you are mentioning. So what was the revenue contribution in this quarter?
So this quarter, one second.
And also, if you could help with the revenue contribution from the acquisitions, Citizenship, iData, and the hotel.
So, like eData, this quarter it has contributed about 72.5 crore revenue, which Adi Fiddlers was about 225. CIA was about 17.5. And Aadhaar, we did about 17.5 crore revenue in this quarter.
Aadhaar 17.5. So good,
yeah.
Growth in Citizenship. I think 11 crores is 17.5 crores. So what? Anything driving? Anything specific driving that growth? Or
which one?
Is this seven? So Citizenship last quarter, last year Q1 was 11 crores. This year you are saying it is 17.5. So what drove the growth and whether it will be maintainable?
Yes, so it will be maintainable. I think especially there is a tailwind with the way things are happening in Middle East. A lot of NRIs there, and not only from India but other countries, they are looking now at opportunities of getting, say, permanent residency or citizenship of any, say, European or other countries. So there's a, we are seeing a traction in that business over the last one quarter now.
Also, you know, as we said that we acquired businesses to grow them, you know, to use cross-synergize from our existing network. So that's what we have done here also. It takes a little time. So it has led to some good results this quarter.
So if I understand correctly, people of Middle East trying to move out of Middle East, right?
Across the world, not only there, but across the world.
Understood, sir. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure that every participant gets an opportunity, please restrict your question to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Vansh Solanki from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, hi. My question is on a GP margin to be specific. Our EBITDA margin is stable on a sequentially, but GP margin of our visa business is declined sequentially. Like, if I just recalculate the net revenue, the total net revenue of visa business, multiplying the net revenue per application and application, then it will come down as per the last quarter, Q1, also, and also Q4 of FY26. So, is there any reason for that?
We overall the visa and counselor segment, the total revenue was 560 versus 461 last time.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a growth of around 22% in the segment overall.
Yeah, so the visa revenue is growing 22%, but
right.
Revenue per application, gross revenue per application over and pay is growing faster, so the GP ratio is declined. Like if I recalculate visa's net revenue, like gross profit of a visa, it is coming around 400 crores in this quarter. So the GP is around 71%.
So that is, last year it was 360, which is now 400.
Yeah.
So there is an 11% growth has been there in the revenue also.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying, that visa revenue, the gross revenue is growing faster than the net revenue. So there is a decline in the GP ratio.
Let me check the number. I don't want to comment without checking the number, but overall there is a growth in the business. You can send me the details. I can share the working also.
Okay. And the second question is on the Aadhaar Centers growth. Till now, how much CapEx we have done in the Aadhaar Center, and what is the, like, in phase 1 and phase 2, how much CapEx we have deployed, and what is the expectation CapEx of phase 3?
So, see, we have invested about 75 crore till now, and the whole project will get over with about 125 crores of investment. And this will have a 6-year contract, as we have explained, and it is about 2,500 crores of total revenue in the 6 years time.
And also this will take a hit in EBITDA because the Atar business have a lower EBITDA margin than the Visa segment, right?
Yeah, so this is going to be a little less, about 10 to 15% EBITDA margin business.
Okay. And the last question is just the data keeping. What is the revenue of a UK hotel in this quarter?
UK hotel was about 16 crores revenue this year versus 2.5 last year.
Okay. Okay, that's from my side. Thank you and all the best for happy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question. I would now like to hand the contents over to the management for closing comments. Hello.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Thank you all for joining the call and for your continuous interest in our company. We hope you have able to answer all your queries. In case you have any more questions, please reach out to us or our investment relationship partner EY. Thank you once again and see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Market, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.